forward to what God's got to say through you, Klaus. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for Klaus. We thank you for the ministry that he's involved in. Thank you for the journey that he's been on in his life. Thank you that you've been at work in his life and in the lives of others through him. And again, Father, we pray that you would encourage us to see what you are doing around the world, that your love is for the whole world. And so we want to have our hearts and minds enlarged. Maybe even this morning there are here some here who sense a call to world mission. And maybe even as Klaus is speaking this morning, that your spirit could be working in that way and encouraging us to maybe hear that call, if that's what you were saying. So bless him, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you so much, Clive, for this very kind introduction. It's the first time that I'm in Scotland. I was brought up in Germany, as you will see as the story develops. But I live with my wife and my family in Peru. But let's ask with a little question here. Is there more than we can see? Well, some are nodding their heads. The trouble is that this morning, 96% of Germans stay in bed very faithfully. They don't go to church. And in Scotland, perhaps 96, 97%. And these people, when you ask them the question, they might come to a very different response, conclusion, than we do. And the question comes up, is there truth? Are they right, the majority, 96%, who stay in bed this morning? Or are we right, the tiny minority who claim that Jesus is the Savior who can save us and to reign the universe? This is my family, my father, my mom, my sisters, my brother, the little one, that's I, in 1963, a family of bakers in Wiesbaden, close to Frankfurt. We made bread, rolls, the delicious black forest cake. I had a good childhood, I tell you. That's I helping my father at the age of three next to the oven to get the production up. We had no television set at home. It is possible to live without television. Instead, we had 2,000 books on cupboards and shelves. And I remember when I was a teenager reading books by certain Dr. Paul Whitener's Australian doctor, who went to Africa for 2 years, went back and then published books on his African jungle experience. They were translated into 70 different languages, and I read so many, I thought, wow, what a life, I want to do the same thing. I met my high school sweetheart 37 years ago, she was 16, I was 17, Tina, and it didn't take long to find out that we both shared exactly the same vision. We wanted to go to medical school in order to spend our entire life as doctors in a third world country, so we got married on the 1st of August. This guy is not John Lennon, that's I. Well, we worked as doctors in our training, 2.5 years in Great Britain, 2 years at Yale University, 2 years in South Africa, 2 years in Germany. In 91, we took a long trip to South America as backpackers to see Machu Picchu. One of the seven wonders of the world. Every year, 2 million tourists, perhaps 3 million even, they travel to Peru to visit the lost city of the Incas. But the descendants of the Incas, the Quechua people, 10 million in Peru, 10 million Quechuas. They live in adobe houses, no window glass, sometimes no electricity, no running water, typical kitchen where they prepare their meals, they work hard in the fields. It's not worth it. They make only, let's say, £3, £4 for all this hard work all day long, and many have no access to modern medical health care. This lady presented with a big tumor in the sole of her foot. It has taken years to reach that size. It started with a little spot on the skin years ago. Why hasn't she looked for expert medical opinion 3 years ago? There must be problems. And we thought, well, let's come back in the future to Peru to build a modern hospital exactly for these people. We served for 5 years at this mission hospital in Ecuador. That's the country right north of Peru. Teen and outpatients, I was the only surgeon of the hospital, did some 2,000 cases. Now, what does a surgeon do? Let me ask you. Well, I took a long knife, made a long cut, and I removed the stomach, the gallbladder, well, the baby C-sections, hysterectomies, and prostate gland. I took everything out that was inside, basically. It was very interesting, very challenging. But we never lost the vision to start a new mission hospital. So we sat down early 2002 to write a project proposal in English, German, Spanish, grew to 100 pages. We asked 8 friends, this is my wife right here, to start a Christian charity. We met very close in Thuringen, close to Wartburg Castle, where Martin Luther translated the New Testament 500 years ago. Well, we had a big vision, obviously, but nobody knew exactly how and when. Here we are, Kuravasi, this is now my hometown, 2,650 meters above sea level in the south of the country, 30 miles away from Machu Picchu on the other side of the mountain range. You can Google it on Google Earth. You see the hospital right here, 30 miles on the other side, Machu Picchu. That's our hometown now. We purchased from the Catholic Church a plot of land, 34,000 square meter, and then we sat down at the town hall of Kuravasi, that's what the name, the place is called, to write a design, a contract with a construction company. On the left-hand side, a friend of mine, we met at Sunday school 45 years ago, Baptist Church in Germany, I hope that this company would do architecture, sewage system, electricity, a hospital's highly complex structure. This theory would cost us $60,000. But we had no money, no money at all. Just the conviction that trusting God, the impossible is possible. Easy to say, difficult to live based on that conviction. A year later, we paid $60,000. The hospital plans were ready. Hospital just as nice, a hospital in Edinburgh or Glasgow with different departments, even an X-ray department, we thought, with a CT scanner. There was not a single hospital around in the state of Apurimac with a CT scanner for operating theaters, intensive care, labor and delivery, a dental workup across the hallway, gastroscopies, colonoscopy, looking great, looking good. On top administration, on the right-hand side, an outdoor theater for special events. Looks good, but we faced a serious problem, Tina and I. We had no money at all. And then we left Ecuador in September 2003 to move to Peru with our children. And then we settled in our adobe house. We were at the time the only white family among 30,000 Quechua people. We had to change the roof. It rained heavily through the roof. We established our modern kitchen. We hired 10 workmen trying to fix things up. It got worse every day, no roof up here. But at night, we recovered on the mattresses on the floor. Domin, Natalie, Florian, my wife, myself, that's how the month passed. They celebrate there, by the way, every year on November the 25th, La Fiesta de la Santa Catalina, it's a religious holiday. And for the occasion, 2003, these boys and girls had dressed up as doctors and nurses. And we said it would be so nice if these children could work at our hospital as doctors and nurses, midwives. What a nice plan. But first, we have to build the hospital, $4 million, buildings, the equipment, $6 million, 1,000 faithful supporters willing to help us as long-term friends, real friends, no Facebook friends, thumbs up, real friends. And 35 professionals, doctors, nurses from all over the world willing to live in adobe houses in Kuravasi with their children, working really hard without getting payment from the hospital. We returned to Europe early 2004 in January to present our vision to the public. And people said, you've got so nice photos of Peru. We've been to Machu Picchu too, lovely photos. The trouble is this hospital idea. We're just passing through severe economic crisis. Unemployment rate high as 10% in Germany even, 2004, terrible year. People were scared. And you show up in the middle of this and you want to raise millions of dollars for a hospital in the Andes? Are you nuts? And we said, well, you're actually quite right. It is impossible. We understand. It's impossible. Unless God wants it, it will happen. We've given so far close to 2,000 presentations in 19 countries around the world. In Europe, 1,055. I've been to Spain and Italy, you know, Finland and England and Scotland. But this is Germany, where I brought it up. Every red spot is one city. Visit by us once, 5 times. Berlin, 30 presentations at least. Well, we have been to England in September, and now again, now to Scotland, the United States, traveling from coast to coast, November last year, 58 appointments, 200,000 miles on European highways since early 2004, many times as a family. We speak in evangelical churches, that's a Baptist church in Berlin, the German capital, Catholic churches, rodeo clubs, like 2 days ago in Queensferry, Lion clubs, Kiwanis clubs, universities, big medical meetings, 1,500 nurses. I was invited to speak at the Fourth World Congress of Pediatric Surgery. There were Muslims and Hindus, agnostics from all around the world. The Sunday schools are busy raising money. The Boy Scouts, a benefit concert in Stockholm, Sweden, at a secular school. 350 press reports have been published on Diocesan in 16 countries around the world. 5 articles so far in England and in Scotland. In 3 weeks, the Sunday Post wants to dedicate 1 or 2 pages to this topic as well. On television many times, in Germany, 20 million people, 1 out of 4, have seen, read, heard something on Diocesan as project of faith. That's how we started, 2004. January, February, March, April, June, always on the road, always on the go, working hard as typical German workaholics. And my wife, she's particularly hardworking. I was so smart to marry my wife. She wrote in 2004 over 1,000 handwritten letters to be personal, but in 6 months trying everything, 251 donations, that's all. 70 people donated some bucks, 25, 40 in March. We are grateful for any donation. But let's face this, you cannot build a hospital that would cost $10 million. After 6 months, we had failed. It's over. And now faith comes in. We had the conviction God will bless this. We have to carry on. That's what we did. 1,500 donations till the end of the year. Then there was an explosion. We have received by now over 80,000 different donations from the Baptists and the Brethren and the Catholics and the Gnostics and the Atheists in many countries. It became a movement. I visited 200 companies around the world. Almost all of them did support us, most with brand new equipment. $10,000 Mexico City is Mexican, as you can see. The accessories for our bathroom from the United States, Connecticut, 2 oxygen generators, $30,000. A Catholic group, 2 trucks, Porva 4. Roche, Switzerland, $300,000. The lab equipment, the same you have at your big hospitals in Glasgow, Edinburgh. Mrs. Traeger, here she came. Her husband owned the Traeger Company, very big company, 10,000 employees, budget $2 billion. She came to Kurovasi, 8 employees, 9 people, back and forth, 18 flight tickets, to give this donation, $300,000, brand new 4 anesthesia machines, the television is there, and Tina and I were there. Thank you very much indeed for this historic donation that they had never done in 150 years. I'd like to add that Mrs. Traeger is a committed atheist. She once shouted at me on the phone, "Dr. John, all nuts with you. It's terrible, your faith is, you're crazy. But I love this hospital. I will always try to help you." And Siemens donated for the very first time ever, and for the last time ever, a CT scanner for hospital in South America. On the 24th of May, 2005, we raised the sign of construction in the middle of nowhere, a hospital that wants to glorify God, gloria a Dios, and serve the people, the Quechuas, laying down the first stone. And we thought, perhaps, God willing, we can open this till the end of April, trimester 2007. But after 17 months, we'd raised only $600,000. Only. A lot of money, of course. But the hospital costs $10 million, and we don't get any money from the taxpayer, neither Bill Gates, Boris Becker, Michael Schumacher. And now, listen carefully, no credits, no loans. We don't spend money we don't have. We pray to God to help us to pay the next bill, as George Müller did 150 years ago in Bristol, looking after 10,000 orphans in the streets. 3,000 people celebrating with us. In my speech, I quoted Luke chapter 4. Jesus said in his first sermon, "I'm here to give eyesight to the blind. I'm here to lead the captives free." That's why we came. Working on the platform, there was a slope. Took us 6 months to remove almost 400,000 cubic meters of soil with retention vaults. You used up hundreds of thousands of cement bags, foundations, platform, walls. Our carpenters made over 400 doors, so inside there are probably 380 different offices, hallways, the hospital. Here it is. On the right-hand side, the outdoor theater. November 2005, 30 pastors. These guys are all pastors. They worked on this construction, free of charge, of course. And then over the following 4 months, 750 people, Protestants and Catholics, they worked hard without payment. In 2004, we looked for a civil engineer, somebody willing to come to Peru to supervise the construction as our consulting partner, somebody obviously competent, healthy, who got experience. and who would do the whole work for us completely free of charge. Well, you're laughing, but we looked for a long time. We were really serious about it. We failed. We didn't find anybody. Came the 16th of February 2005, I'm in Wiesbaden, my hometown, in a small office on the desk, 50 pages of small print, a contract between the Hospizian and Construct, now talking the construction of the hospital, $4 million. And next to me, a lawyer who's trying to explain all this legal stuff, all these paragraphs to me. I didn't understand what they were talking about, really. And suddenly he said, well, Dr. John, I'm also a member of a Christian charity. We're 25 people from all over, and we support an orphanage in Sao Paulo, Brazil. And one of us used to work as a civil engineer, and I got so nervous. I quickly get nervous. What is his name? His name is Udo Clemens. Do you happen to have his telephone number with you? Looks in his paper. Well, the number is right here. Ask for a little break to make an instant phone call to Mr. Clemens while the lawyer's waiting next to me behind the desk. And I said, Mr. Clemens, I just heard about you. I'm calling from Wiesbaden. We are doctors. Want to build a hospital in Peru. I know that you are a civil engineer. And I have to tell you a secret. We Germans are not as polite as you are. We are straightforward to the point. Let's not waste any time here. Could you do it, a year, two, whatever it takes, but we are not paying anything. He's very quiet online. And they said, well, Dr. John, I live close to Wetzlar. If you wish, you could see me tonight. I would be available. Let's talk things over. At night, my visit, I put up a screen in his living room. I tell the story. As I finish, his wife, Barbara, taught me something I will never forget. She said, Dr. John, we are Lutherans. Bad news. Lutherans don't go to church in Germany. 3% perhaps. But we are committed Christians, and we started praying to God 3 days ago that he would give us a special purpose, a special vision for our lives. This morning, sitting in our kitchen, 3 hours praying, pondering our hearts. What is it? That very moment, the phone rang. It was you. They came to Peru on the 3rd of August, 2005. He had 33 years of experience in construction business, running big projects around the world, Africa as well, Asia as well. Well, he supervised the construction of the hospital, 2.5 years. The dental clinic, eye clinic, 1 year. Our house for the kids clubs, 1 year. Our school, 2 years, 6.5 years. Working 8 hours really hard every day without cashing in. November 2005, at a meeting with three directors of Telefónica Peru, a big Spanish company, very strong on telecommunication in South America. These two guys actually came from Spain. And they saw me only because the German ambassador asked for the meeting. I give my little speech and ask for a satellite dish for internet and telephone because 10 years ago, high up in the mountains where we were, no cell phones, no internet. Can you survive nowadays without a smartphone? Impossible. Well, and they said, sounds interesting, but where on earth is Kurawasi located? We never heard this word before. Let's look at a map. 700 miles away from the capital, Lima, high up in Dr. John, it's great, we love it. We have to think about it, we will let you know. 2004, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, every year, I'm away from home 6 months. 1 month in Peru, 1 month in the States, or Canada, or Germany, or Scotland, or England, all over, telling the story. But I returned to Peru on the 19th of December, 2005, the airport of Lima, big airport, to celebrate Christmas with my family. As I got there at midnight and I walked through customs, they confiscated my projector, the very equipment, you got one right here, I used to raise millions of dollars. And they told me, well, you didn't fill out this form here, the custom declaration. You are smuggling the equipment to the country. That's naughty, you're a criminal, really. They took it away. And for 7 weeks, some politicians who knew me, the director of the church council, the German ambassador as well, they tried everything to persuade these guys to return this piece of equipment. Well, he's built a hospital, but no luck, no luck. February 7, 2006, a phone call from Telefónica, eventually. And they told me, well, Dr. John, we really love your approach, we really do, but we must tell you, unfortunately, we can't help you. No satellite dish. But all the best for the future, end of the conversation. And I was so frustrated. I spent 90 minutes with the top-ranking directors, next to me, an ambassador himself. They're making millions of dollars. A hospital for the poor, I guess, is important. Support nothing, absolutely nothing. 3 days later, I look for a telephone book, yellow pages. I want to know if in Lima, a city of 8 million people, quite big, the company that sell at a good price, projectors. I had already 40 presentations lined up March, April 2006 in Europe. And I enter this building in Lima, inside a big room, there are some technicians fixing broken down equipment and three models, projectors, for sale. I hook up my laptop, projector 1 to 3, I run the whole presentation real quick, and now everybody suddenly is listening in the room. And as I finish my talk to check out the projector, a man walks up to me from the corner behind. He walks over and asks me, "Is it true that Telefonica does not want to help you with the satellite dish?" The photo with the directors of Telefonica had been already part of my presentation. And I said, "No, 3 days ago, a definitive negative response. Perhaps I can help you. It's my business card. My name is Dante Passalacqua. I happen to be the president of IMSAT, a competing company of Telefonica. We have exactly the same equipment. And the next time you come to Lima, please give the same presentation, a bit slower if you wish, to my board of directors, IMSAT, big company, 2nd of March. He signs a form, Dante Passalacqua, we got a satellite dish, internet, telephone, hardware, software use is for free. We're talking since 2006, a donation of over $300,000. The first company, secular company, of course, in Peru that decided to help us. How can 8 million people, 3 days after the negative response by Telefonica, not helping, but all the best, show, I happen to meet the president of a competing company in a small shop where they sell projectors. What is he doing there? Why is he standing in the corner? The whole thing is too strange, really. The owner of the shop happens to be his cousin. It's a family visit. Suddenly, many photos on a screen, a very strange German accent. He's deeply moved. We're talking $300,000. He's not a Christian. And I think even Richard Dawkins, it's getting tough to explain all this based on mathematical probabilities. They wanted to get it published. They paid flight tickets for a photographer, and Doris Bailey, a very famous journalist, she works for Somos, the Time magazine or Newsweek magazine of Peru, comes out every Saturday. And she's really 2006, 3 pages in Somos. Angels of the Andes, Sura Clemens, Tina, myself. And overnight, almost 1 million readers in Peru heard something about an interesting project in the south of their country. A week later, here comes a truck with 600 cement bags worth $5,000. And I asked the driver, "Who on earth is behind that donation?" He says, "Well, his name is Guido de Castillo, a miner. He got gold mines, copper mine, a multimillionaire. He saw the article in Somos. He wants to help you with cement." "That's great. I get on the phone. De Castillo, thank you so much. Could I visit you in Lima to show you a little PowerPoint?" "Ah, venga nomás. Come along. De Castillo, my laptop, the story." And I said, "You know what? We are just about to build the roof of the hospital. We would need 55 tons of steel. Market value $70,000. What do you think?" No response. But 4 days later, an email, "Klaus, I will help you. I will send all the steel you need, three trucks, 55 tons of steel." Why is he helping us? He doesn't go to church Sunday morning. He's not religious. But 6 months previously, his son, Andres de Castillo, at the age of 21, jumped out of the airplane. The parachute didn't open. He died dramatically in a sporting accident. His father donated so far over $300,000 to the hospital, to the school, many things, the roof and four ceilings, and the first well of the state behind our proper everything. He made contact with the press. And this article was published in a magazine that belongs to the mining world. Peru is El Dorado of mining, gold, silver, everything. And this article in Proactivo 2006 published got only 5,000 copies. That's not a lot, I'm afraid, in a city of 8 million people. But one of these copies ended up on the desk of Renato Canales, right here. I can't explain how that happened. The director of the leading news program, TV Channel 2, from 10 to 11 every night, news, nationwide. He's sitting there, a pile of magazines, trying to find something. What is this here? An email, invitation, my presentation, 5 television shows, primetime TV, TV Channel 2, This was TV Channel 5, Sunday night, 14 minutes, with 4 million TV spectators. On all, we had 31 TV shows on 11 TV channels. And they usually call us El Hospital de la Fe, the hospital built on faith. Here it is, in August 2007. The 31st of August 2007. The big party, the schools are marching through. I said in my speech, only God can do a lot with very little, and everything with nothing, all the glory to God. And the First Lady, Pilar Narasi Garcia, the President's wife, she came along, and she said, this hospital is a cathedral of love to the whole nation. She cut the red ribbon, a big cake, 2 meter wide, very big cake. Well, Barbara Clemens prepared 23 cakes till 3 o'clock in the morning. The housewives here know what I'm talking about. A lot of cake, I'm afraid not enough. To feed 4,500 people at outdoor theater, 9 television teams, and they showed these videos in many Latin American countries, up to Brazil, to millions and millions of TV spectators. The London Times of Peru, El Comercio, the Hospital of Faith, has opened its doors. There are 25 states in Peru. Our patients come from 25 states, traveling 10, 15 hours, bypassing on the way at least 10 government hospitals, sleeping out night, exposed to the rain, hoping to get in the next day or the same week. We have 126 seats in our waiting area. In the morning, every seat taken. And if you show the Jesus film, you know, Jesus film, Campus Crusade, the story of Jesus Christ, based on the Gospel of Luke, every morning, every afternoon. And at the only hospital in South America, we start every morning with a church service, 8:30, 9 o'clock. The patients walk in. We had so far 155,000 patients over the first 7 years. The relatives, though, over 300,000 people have been exposed to the gospel. And that's where we say, this hospital is a luxury hospital for the poor. It doesn't exist anywhere else. The trouble is, we always lose the fight against death. You will all die. We will die. Only the man on the cross can give us eternal life. My wife is a pediatrician. Famous English doctor Ruth Bevan from Oxford. She started 10 days ago working at a hospital. She will be with us for 4 months. Dr. Kea from Dallas, 8-year commitment looking after an alcoholic patient, teaching her first gastroscopy to English medical student Ruth Brand from Garstrain. She goes to Free Methodist Church. A major bus crash, 35 victims, a traumatic amputation of the arm, right here, my wife, looking after this patient. ICU, 5 beds, 4 operating theaters, the best you can find in Peru, that's for sure. You're not reaching out to the upper class. Our patients are desperately poor. They pay only a tiny fraction of the real cost of their treatment. Rainy season, November till April, thunderstorms, sometimes every night. And when lightning hits one of these transformers, off goes electricity and remains sometimes dark all night long. Dark. At home, candles, not a big deal. But a hospital's 5 ICU beds, 4 operating rooms, needs electricity guaranteed. A big, big generator that comes on to produce energy. And I ran around with my laptop. I visited so many mining companies telling the story, are you willing to help us with a generator? They were not interested. Well, I was invited then to the Sheraton Hotel in Lima to speak at a conference of 40 Rotary Clubs. 40 Rotary Clubs. That's quite a collection of important people. And I said, well, are you willing to help us with a generator for this hospital that you know anyway from the television? And they jumped up, clapping their hands, standing ovation of its finest. But nobody present afterwards ever paid a penny, just clapping their hands. But now we gave a presentation, our urologist, Dr. David Bright and me, to the board of directors of the Peruvian-German Chamber of Commerce. 10 directors. Now, 2008, the hospital up and running. Thousands of patients looked after. Are you willing to help over the generator? And this director says, yes, we are, because we want to be part of the dream. It's great. A week later, a phone call, and they told me, Dr. John, we love this hospital. Of course we wanted to help. We made phone calls to find out how much it would cost. Now, the bad part, we know how much it costs, $60,000. We didn't anticipate that. We can't. Perhaps next year, we stay in touch. A few days later, I'm in Lima running my government visits. They call it tramites in Peru, in Latin America. Visit the companies and the press and the... And I'm sitting in one of the taxis. There are 200,000 taxi drivers in Lima, so they say. I'm sitting in the taxi. Suddenly, I pull out this form. I had it in my wallet, Detroit Diesel M2U, that's the street address in the north of Lima, and I knew that this company, they sell emergency generators. And I had ignored this form in my wallet because I thought we're not buying anything. Hopefully we get it as a donation. But 1 year, frustration, dead end streets. I'm sitting there in the taxi, I'm holding this in my hand. Well, there's a telephone number. I pull up my cell phone, I call this number. Suddenly I talk to Raul Mayorga, he works for this company. I scribble down his cell phone number. And we made an appointment for 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I didn't give any details. But at five, I'm leaving the health ministry downtown, and now we're talking rush hour in Lima. If you have ever complained about rush hour in Edinburgh or Glasgow, you have never been to Lima, we're talking the real thing. And I'm standing there, and I call him and say, Mr. Mayorga, we have to cancel, can't come, impossible. Everything is packed full here. But a voice tells me, you come along. I wait for you 2 or 3 hours extra tonight, thinking that I'm a German businessman with $60,000 in my bank account. He doesn't know me at all. Big money, $60,000. I get there at 6:30, this is the company. I leave my taxi, and suddenly it strikes me that it doesn't make any sense that I'm as a gringo and a Peruvian company to ask for a $60,000 donation. This is nonsense. Another set up for failure. I'm wasting my time. And suddenly I'm so frustrated. I'm so sad. You know what I did? Although I'm German and well-behaved, I started out shouting to God aloud. And I said, God, I shouted, you have seen me struggling for a whole year. What else can I do? Please, God, do a miracle. And I walk in, I show the PowerPoint to this man, Mayorga. And he said, well, that's quite a story. You are evangelico, I'm cattolico. We believe in the same God. The trouble is the owner. He's almost 80. He's very brusco, duro, unfriendly, harsh. That's the trouble. But 2 weeks later, I walk into the office of the owner, this old man sitting behind his desk. I opened my laptop in front of his eyes and said, you know what, Señor Salvana, I wondered for so many years of my life whether God existed or not. In this presentation, the answer, he listens, he says, well, Dr. John, I have to talk to my son, really. He owns 25% of the shares. I called you within 1 week. He called me 4 days later. We're going to Downey, this brand new. We have never done this before. But after seeing the photos, I guess we just have to do it. It was delivered, 450 kVA, enough energy for 2 or 3 hospitals with only a tiny fraction of the energy. She's 47, 5 teeth left in her mouth. There are hundreds of thousands in Peru where it looks very similar. But dental health care is expensive, isn't it? In Edinburgh, in Glasgow, in Lima, in Frankfurt, all over. But 16 companies did support us, secular companies. This is ophthalmology, this is dental. It was opened in June 2010. So far, 22,000 patients looked after. Irene Connelly, lifelong commitment, dentist from Washington State in the United States. But we also have a doctor from Switzerland, another one from Tennessee. A CAT scan, there are 4 CAT scans in Peru, 3 in Lima, 1 at our hospital. It does prosthetics, it's a computerized process, very nice. Prior, afterwards, a transformed life for the poor, not for the wealthy, at our hospital. The first operation done by our ophthalmologist, Dr. Book, a catcherman, indigenous patient, lying there, a steer, had pushed its horn into the eye of the patient. I don't know how, but he was able to save the patient's eyesight. Very sweet children in Curuvasi, 20,000 children, millions of children in the mountains of Peru. These are sweet children. There's a big problem. Mom and Dad are always drunk every night, as 100,000 drunk people every night. And where they live, neither you nor I want to live. That's why Lyndall Maxwell, X-ray tech from Australia, lifelong commitment, my wife Tina, they clean the house, they perch the bed, put up the beds, they shower the kids, remove the fleas jumping all over. They bought uniforms to register them at a local school, a chance to get on in their life. They came to the kids' club. November 2005, Lyndall, Tina, our daughter Natalie, 15, 20 boys from the streets, Bible stories, Christian songs, crafts, sports, the brownies, the Boy Scouts, interesting stuff. 40 sheep in the street, not enough room inside. Now we have 9 kids' clubs running from Monday to Friday, and 400 boys and girls feel loved and appreciated. And for them, we built 2012 the building for the kids' clubs, where these children meet from Monday till Friday. Kuravasi, the hospital compound right here, we purchased this property to build a school for 650 boys and girls with outdoors, a gym, 800 people can be seated, kindergarten, 24 classrooms, chemistry, physics, biology, woodwork room, computers. It was built and inaugurated last year in March on the 14th. It's up and running. This is a big party with 800 invited guests. Biology, one of our first missionaries lying here. A school class, I can do everything, this in Spanish, in Jesus Christ who gives me the strength, quoting Paul. And he's a Spanish teacher and the director of the school. He happened to hear my presentation 2 years ago somewhere in Germany, and now he got a 10-year or 12-year commitment. His wife is also a teacher. 54 long-term missionaries from 11 countries around the world are serving as we speak in Kuravasi at the hospital, the kids' clubs, school. Soon we hope to start a radio ministry as well. They usually come for 3 years, some for 5 years, others lifelong. And I tell you what, everybody is losing so much money by his decision to serve Jesus Christ in the poor on this world. Last year, on the 30th of May, this is the president landing on our hospital compound. He's a left-wing politician, doesn't go to church. But he wanted to attend a big political meeting in our district. We have such a nice helicopter landings pad, a heliport. So he landed and we asked, Mr. President, can we show you the hospital real quick? He said, no. I'm running late. They're waiting for me downtown, thousands. But I read an article upon you, about you. I will try very hard to walk through the hospital before my helicopter takes off at 5 o'clock. Running with the president through the hospital and running back to the helicopter. What do you want? The president asked me. Well, a meeting with you and your wife at the palace. Esther Ben, that's fine. 6 days later, at the palace in Lima. My wife, Tina, our gynecologist, the first wave of Peru, hearing the story of Diospiciana, and I finished up saying, we fully trust in Jesus Christ. He built the hospital. About 1,000 people, Christian non-Christians, are supporting our ministry on a monthly basis. 200 companies have donated $6.4 million. Close to 100,000 people, $22.1 million. It was just a vision we had. We presented it in the middle of an economic crisis, but we always said, well, if God wants it, it will happen. It doesn't depend on economic parameters. Stephen Nolan, BBC 5, before interviewing, he said, well, it's really a story of medicine, money, and miracles. And Oxford professor John Lennox, mathematics, he heard the story, said, well, it's an example that shows what happens when people take God seriously. If there's evidence, there's a God who cares. This is my car. I want to finish with these photos. On the 16th of December 2008, I'm sitting in my car with a urologist. We are crossing a mountain range. It's dark. It started raining, slippery on the ground. A thick fog is coming up. We couldn't see. And high up in the mountains, a truck with a trailer is pushing over the cliff on the right-hand side. I cannot avoid the crash. I'm sitting right here. But I did survive. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here with a broken clavicle, blood in my face. And as we got out on the other side, we realized that in the middle of darkness, our car got with the wheels right on the edge of the cliff. So God saved our life in a very big way that night at about 8:30. But the truth is, every day can be the last day of my life or the last day of your life. My mom died 2010 and my father died 2011, City Cemetery in Wiesbaden, that's my father. In this row there's my cousin, she was 47 when she died. She had a melanoma in her eye, metastasis all over, saying goodbye to her husband, leaving 3 children behind. And this was the question of my life. Is there any hope after death? And I never wanted to believe in God. I wanted to see God, which is very different. And Paul has written to the Philippians 2,000 years ago, all I want is to know Christ and with the power of his resurrection. I'm not talking wishful thinking, daydreaming, or philosophy, hoping to be raised from death to life. And this story obviously is for Tina, for me, for many people, a modern faith journey with the risen Savior. It has been communicated through the mass media in many countries, at least 100 million TV spectators, radio listeners, readers of female and TV magazines. This is a journal, as you, in Germany, Hamburger Abendblatt, 700,000 readers, secular of course. The doctor connected to God. And I said, perhaps that's true, really. But Everybody can have this connection to God. It all comes down trusting the one who died on the cross 2,000 years ago for our sins, leaving his tomb 3 days later. The most important event in world history. The hospital, the patients pouring in the morning right here. Solar energy panels from 3 competing companies. The outdoor theater, the president landed right here. It's for Tina, for me, a vision to the burials on a graveyard. It is a great passion of thousands of atheists, agnostics, Catholics, Protestants, who are willing to support us despite the fact that we are committed Christians. It is a modern faith ministry. It gives evidence, as John Lennox said, there's a God who cares, a symbol of friendship, hope to hundreds of thousands of poor patients in Peru. They get the best treatment. And they all hear the good news of Jesus Christ. What can we tell about this story? Perhaps this year, God has become visible. The book in German, English, Spanish, with 40,000 copies sold. You can carry a book if you wish for donation. God has become visible. The Holy Spirit has come upon you and all of you, that you all of you know the truth. That was my question I asked at the beginning. Who is right? These 97% who are in bed right now, in Germany, in France, in Scotland. Are we right, the tiny minority who believe in Jesus Christ the Savior? We have so fantastic songs, and hardly anybody believes it. It's not that easy to believe in God. For me, it was difficult. For many years, I've been struggling. I grew up in a Christian church, Baptist church, Sunday school. I fell asleep reading my children's Bible in the evening. And then I turned 18, 19, 20, and my friends were atheists, very smart people. Nowadays you read Dawkins, in those days you read Russell's, Bertrand Russell, or Nietzsche, or whatever. Endless discussions. And I wondered, I'm just making things up here. It's just in a dream world, faith, or is it real? And I saw so many people dying, and I was so scared of dying. I had a spot on my skin, and I thought, perhaps it's a melanoma, skin tumor. Perhaps I have to die. My cousin did die of melanoma. And I had a knee pain. I thought, perhaps it's a bone tumor. And I met young people who died of bone tumors. My whole life was this question. Is there God? Is there no God? Is there hope? Is there no hope? One night I was out in the fields, shouting at the top of my voice. I was by myself. November, ice cold. The wind was blowing. God, where are you? I want to see you. There's a book out. I've seen God. Thank you so much.